For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
Hello and welcome to the Rush Marconzi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. A lot to get into here on a Wednesday. It is the beginning of OTAs around the National Football League, and we're going to be covering the Los Angeles Rams, Chargers, and the Las Vegas Raiders. And the Raiders, by the way, will be having training camp in Costa Mesa now that the Chargers are moving into their new practice facilities in the South Bay. The Raiders are coming back to Southern California for training camp prior to training camp. As I mentioned, we have OTAs. And the biggest story from Raiders OTA is the quarterback competition. You have a competition between Gardner Minshew and Dayton O'Connell. Now, this was a situation where O'Connell was the starter last year after Jimmy Garoppolo was benched. Now you have Gardner Minshew coming in. And listen, he was signed to a two-year, $25 million contract with $15 million guaranteed. So they didn't just bring him here to be a backup. They brought him in to compete for the starting position. So it will be arguably the biggest quarterback competition in the National Football League this summer going into the season. And we got a chance to catch up with both quarterbacks following OTA practice yesterday. So I want to play for you some sound before we come back and touch on this. But again, Gardner Minshew and Dayton O'Connell, again, embroiled in arguably the biggest quarterback competition in the National Football League. So now let's hear from Gardner Minshew first, and then we're going to hear from Aiden O'Connell.
Out here so far with the guys.
It's been awesome, man. The energy's been great. I think we've been preparing the right way. Guys are showing up ready to work, you know. And I really like what we're building as an offense, as a team. Man, it's been a lot of fun.
How have you felt like the offense has been picking up the new offense on the Kent team?
I think it's been really good. You know, obviously not every day is perfect. There's been some ups and downs, but I think more ups than downs. We're playing against a good team across the ball. You know, our defense is doing some great stuff, really challenging us. And it's been a lot of fun.
Gardner, you've been in a situation where you had to pick up a new offense. Are there any tricks to the trade that you've learned to be able to sort of streamline that process from your perspective?
Yeah, I think you kind of learn how you learn best, you know. I think for me, it's a lot of like voice recordings, hearing the play and walking through. Drawing it up didn't do as much for me personally, you know. So I think just figuring out what works for you and then implementing that as much as you need to.
To piggyback off that, Gardner, what's been different about Vegas that's made you feel the most comfortable than you have in the past?
No, that's a great question. Man, honestly, it's the guys. The energy, as soon as like I walked in this building the first day that I signed, you could just feel it, you know, from defense, offense, coaches, everybody feels like they're pulling in the same direction and wants to get this thing going the right way. And I think if everybody's on the same page, we will be able to get it done.
Carter, how would you describe the quarterback competition between yourself and Nate?
It's been great, man. I think we both put together a good camp so far, man. Been pushing each other, but also just enjoying each other, enjoying our room, man. We got an awesome room, not only with Aiden, but with Anthony and Carter. Like, we're having a ton of fun right now, being very competitive. And I think that's only going to make our team better.
How hard or how easy is it then to find that line between being a good teammate, but also, you know, you're competing. You want the job yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I think as any real competitor, you don't want them to be worse. You want yourself to be better, you know. So the better he is, if I'm beating him out, that means I'm just raising it that much more. So that's kind of how I've always viewed it. Like, if he's pushing me and he's completing every pass, I got to figure out a way to do better. So I think that's the only way to really ever improve.
Have you had like a direct conversation about like, hey, you're a veteran, like I understand we're competing, but this is how our relationship is going to work? Like, is that a conversation that happens?
Not really, man. It's been pretty smooth. Like, you know, I think, you know, we had initial conversations, just, you know, getting to know each other. And I mean, once they get to know Aiden, like, he's a team guy, I'm a team guy. Like, we both want to win. We both want to get better. So I mean, there's really not much conflict of interest there. Yeah.
What stood out the most about Aiden on the field now that you've been with him?
Yeah, I think he's super smart and he's super accurate. As a young guy, like, he really understands football, understands progressions, timing. And, man, it's fun to watch him interact with the guys, man. He has a ton of energy, and it's just a lot of fun to be around.
We know we haven't seen him out here yet, but have you had some conversations with Devontae and what are you looking forward to most in terms of, like, maybe learning from his angle and one of the best receivers in the league?
Oh, absolutely. No, he's had a ton of conversations with Devontae. He hasn't been out yet, but super excited to get to work with him, man. Been watching, you know, a lot of his stuff with the Packers, back with Rodgers. That was a lot of the Getsy stuff and a lot of the concepts that I've been seeing them run on tape for years. We're finally getting to run and kind of getting the minutiae, the detail of what he likes, why they're getting to it for certain looks. It's been some awesome insight and just really looking forward to getting into that more.
You spoke on how challenging the defense has been against what you guys are trying to do in progressions and all. So how has that helped you elevate your game?
Oh, it's huge, man. You got to be ready. Like, you know, typically coming in, you get day one looks, day two looks. It's pretty base, pretty vanilla. Our defense is coming out guns blazing first day. And that really makes you be on your stuff, not only to know what you have on perfect looks, but when things break down, when it's not an ideal look on a play, how are you going to make it work? And I think we've been doing a good job of that through camp.
Gardner, whether on offense or on defense, who has stuck out to you the most so far?
Man, I'd say Christian Wilkins. That dude is running so fast every single play. Wherever the ball is, don't look like you'll see him soon. You know what I'm saying? He shows up. It's really impressive to be around a guy that nonstop works the way he does.
We know the interaction with Max last year, but he's notorious in practice for going after his own guys, just kind of, you know, inspiring some competition, that kind of thing. Have you kind of experienced that situation?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. It was the first day. I think he's trying to send a message. But I had to send a message back. You know, nah. It's been fun, man. That dude's competitive. He's going to push it to the limit. And like we were saying, with everything else the defense is doing, like, that's only going to make us better. And it makes practice a lot of fun, too.
Carter, as a veteran in this league for a while, there's been some talk, and even the commissioner brought up, of the potential of going to an 18-game season. As a veteran, is that something that you even think about, or what are your thoughts on that potential? And also, Super Bowl maybe even being moved to mid-February.
Yeah, I don't really think about that too much. I think we kind of signed that away in our last CBA. They kind of got that right from us, and I don't think they're going to give it back. You know, so we'll be playing more games and more games until we, you know, get a little more leverage to be able to do something about it.
What about the offseason program? You favor moving everything back?
I don't know, man. I see the pros and cons both ways. You know, it'll shake out the way it shakes out, and we'll show up when they tell us to show up.
Sorry, I asked one of the DB coaches if he likes to have his players have communication sort of organically with the quarterback, so there's understanding the nuances. On the flip side, do you like that also, to maybe have a relationship and conversations with the DBs?
Oh, absolutely. A guy like Marcus Epps, I was with him in Philly. He's always been a player I respect, a smart player, hard-nosed football player. Like, anytime I get to kind of pick his brain, or if he comes up to me, hey, you know, that was nice. You know, we know we're on the right track and doing some good stuff, and you get that overlap.
Connor, what do you think are some of the similarities and differences between you and Aiden's game that makes this competition so unique?
Yeah, I think one of the best traits both of us have is just kind of decision-making, kind of keeping us on track, keeping the ball moving forward. I think that's been one thing that's, like, on our good days, man, it's just been completion. And I think it's been fun, man. I think we lead in different ways, you know what I'm saying? But both of us, like, take charge of the huddle and get the team moving.
Just early impressions of Brock Bowers out there.
He gets open, he catches the ball, we're not like tackling or anything right now, but after he catches it, he looks pretty good too. So I think, there's a lot of guys out there doing that, getting open and catching the ball. A lot of, exciting times around here.
Last time we talked to you, you were just getting to Vegas. What's your impression of kind of living here and being around the city?
Loving it. Gone to the Sphere, seen Dead and Company. That was pretty cool. I don't get to do that everywhere. It's a great place to live. Live here by the facility. The facility's amazing. Got everything we need here. So, it's a great setup.
Have you become an Aces fan yet?
Not yet. Gonna need to, man. They keep winning. Sheesh.
In the last season, you probably played the most of your career so far. What did you kind of learn about yourself and your experience, and what did you set out to improve on yourself?
I think, last year is just got to win. No matter how that looks, whether we're running the ball 50 times, throwing it 50 times, defense is playing great, offense is playing great, at the end of the day, you're getting judged for wins and losses, and however you can help your team to do that, I think is all you can really do.
Anything else?
Cool.
Thank you. Yeah, they've been good. Up and down a little bit for the offense. Obviously, it's all a new playbook, and so had some good days, had some not so good days, and I think a couple weeks it kind of started slow at the beginning of the week and then kind of picked it up. So we're trying to be consistent, just like we want to be in a game, and but it's been fun to see the progression of our offense.
Considering how you were growing in last year and sort of took over the offense, is there a little bit more of a comfort zone for you coming in? I mean, there's quarterback competition, but where is your mindset and your nerves at?
Yeah, I think it is a change because it's a new offense, so it's a little bit like starting over. But at the same time, it is my now second year in the NFL. I think all the extra rookie stuff I don't have to do anymore is really a weight off my shoulders. And so, definitely feeling more comfortable. Like you said, it's obviously a competition, so trying to put my best foot forward every day and do the best I can.
How would you describe the competition right now?
Yeah, I think it's been awesome. Gardner's a great guy, and, he's really what you see is what you get, and he's been awesome with me. I think we do a good job of communicating with each other what we're seeing, what we're thinking on each play, because we are both trying to learn this offense at the same time together, and also at the same time, we are both the leaders of the offense, and so we want to make sure when we go out to practice it's a good practice, and so we want to make sure the offense is running smoothly and we're executing. So it's been a fun competition.
How hard or easy is it then for you guys to straddle that line between being friendly and being good teammates, but at the same time you're competing for the same gig?
Yeah, I think that's not unique to us. I think that's in any position really, but and especially in this sport, there's only one quarterback can play, and so I think we've both been around long enough and we've both had to compete really our whole lives, and so I don't think it's really anything new for either of us.
Yeah, you had a lot of conversation about what you did in the offseason. You were really here a lot and working on yourself. What all went into that?
Yeah, I think, me and my wife are both from the Midwest, so I think a big part of it was we didn't want to go back to the cold. We just wanted to stay in Vegas. But obviously, just to be here with our strength coaches in our facility with the resources we have is awesome. And so, yeah, we love this area. We love to be here and to live here, and so we wanted to stay and also get some great work in our facility.
How much did that help you prepare for what you're doing right now?
Yeah, I think, obviously getting ready, getting my body ready, all the things that go into it, but also, being around the guys that were in the building, and getting some camaraderie with those guys maybe I don't know as well throughout the offseason, and so it was fun to kind of build the relationships with even the strength coaches who, I got to know a little bit as a rookie, but we kind of just throw them in the fire, and so just to kind of take a deep breath and, guys enjoy the time at the facility was fun.
And then it's early June. You guys were getting some red zone work in today, and it looked pretty good. What do you think the key is to making that a better part of the game for the offense this year?
Yeah, I think obviously things get tighter down there, and so we have guys on the outside and really guys all over that can threaten the defense over the top. And so when you can't, I think details are just that much more important. So I think focusing on the details, Coach Getsy has done a great job of, you know, emphasizing that and in our installs, making sure that, you know, guys are understanding what they're doing and not just, you know, the basics, but the details to the nitty-gritty of each play.
Whether it was intentional or coincidental, a lot of action to the tight ends as well. A lot of threw some touchdown passes to your tight ends. How big of a factor can they be, and what kind of comfort level does that create for you?
Yeah, well, I think we have a lot of confidence in really all those guys to make plays. Those guys they're so impressive. You know, they got to run with the little guys and block the big guys, and they got to be really smart too. And so tight end is a really hard position to play, and we're lucky to have a bunch of good ones. So yeah, they do a good job, especially in the red zone, finding open spots.
In regard to the competition, Aiden, is there anything you picked up in the first couple of weeks from Gardner?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, Gardner's in his sixth year, and I've only been in one system before this, and now he's been in a bunch. And so he's seen kind of these similar plays, taught a different way, you know, schemed a different way. And so I think communication has been open. And again, he offers what he thinks for each play, and I do the same, and I think it's a good back and forth.
What are some of the similarities and differences you've noticed between your game and Gardner's game?
Yeah, I think I would say our stories are kind of both underdog stories, and, you know, having to work to get to the point where we're at. But guard does a great job, like I said, commanding the offense, caring about attention to detail. He knows, obviously, he's been around, so he knows how important the little things are to playing quarterback and for the entire offense. And so, yeah, it's been fun to just get to know him. And yeah.
You mentioned one system, but three coordinators now, and like barely a year.
Yeah.
I guess how to hear the different voices. How difficult is that kind of process, man?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a change, but again, it's not unique to me. You know, some guys do that in 1 year and even less than that. And so it's just trying as fast as I can to really steal time back and try to continue to go over things over and over. And so, you know, the more you go over them, the more you'll feel comfortable with them, and they won't feel as foreign. And so just trying to study as much as possible to try to get ahead. You know, I try to recap the day and also get ready for the next day.
And you're kind of covered at the end of OTAs and the offseason program. Next week you have the mini camp, and then it's over until training camp. Where's the balance for you in terms of, you know, still wanting to kind of stick with it and stay with it and try to take a break so that you get that necessary break?
Yeah, I think it's a hard balance. This is my first full offseason in the NFL, so still figuring out that balance. But I do love football. I love to you know, work at football, both, you know, physically, mentally, all the things that go into it. And so I think I'm trying to find a good balance of, you know, spending time with my wife, spending time just with friends and family, but also knowing that this is my job, and this is a job that requires, you know, bringing it home with you. And so sometimes that happens, but I definitely have not found that perfect balance yet. I'm still working on it.
So you can stay around the facility after minicamp? You're going to home, or
We'll be most of the time here. We'll be out for a little bit, but for the most part, we'll be here.
Hey, if you can go back to the question, Adam's question about the three systems, is it a matter of you fitting your system, your style into a system, or changing your style to fit within the system?
Yeah, I think it's kind of both. I think, again, Coach Getsy does a good job of even saying to us, you know, he wants to make it comfortable for us and wants us to, you know, feel comfortable when the play is called. He wants to know what we like, what we don't like. But at the same time, there's a system in place, and you know, they believe in what they do, and that's we're all buying into what's being taught and trying to execute that at a high level. So I think it's a balance of, you know, like you said, being myself and finding how I'll fit in this offense, but also understanding that the system is in place to, you know, obviously make yards, get first downs, score touchdowns.
Gardner was saying, like, every quarterback he's been around has different ways of kind of sinking in a new offense. He was saying he likes to hear a voice memo instead of, like, the traditional scripting of plays. Everyone has their own tricks. Do you have anything like that? Well, what kind of tricks do you use to kind of learn a new offense?
Yeah, I think the voice memo is definitely helped me this year. Yeah, I record my voice, record the scripts, and play it back to myself and just try to go over it. I think that's the, you know, the realest practice you're going to get is hearing it back and trying to, you know, act like you're breaking the huddle and going to execute a play.
Had you fought to get onto Max's podcast, or did that kind of happen surprisingly? Or?
I did not fight. Max just in one day invited me on. I don't even remember. I think he was rolling out or something, just asked. He actually, I think, asked if I want to come on the pod, and I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. It's a podcast. I'm like, oh, yeah, for sure. So that was super fun. We shared some good memories on there because we played Max when I was in college, and they beat us, and that was a bad day. So it was just a fun time to kind of go down memory lane a little bit.
even I know arm strength isn't really thought of as something, you know, a guy improves on once he's made it, you know, this far in the NFL, but just looks like you're really driving on those throws between the numbers down the field. Do you feel stronger in your arm? Do you feel like, you know, your arm talent just in general has improved in year two as compared to year one?
Yeah, I think I'm always trying to improve. You know, I'm definitely not known for like over the top arm strength or anything like that, but I think you can make improvements and you can get better. And you know, I think definitely trying to work this off season to be functionally more strong, but also understand, you know, my motion better, working with quarterback coach, just a bunch of things that, you know, are important that I think go into playing quarterback. But yeah, I think, you know, I'm trying to improve on every aspect of the game, but throwing the football is definitely high on that list.
Let's do one more.
You'd said that you weren't going to take this opportunity for granted after last year being put into the position of starter. How has your mindset really developed from that moment to now?
Yeah, I think trying to continue that, you know, trying to be grateful for where I'm at. You know, I get to play football for a living. I get to do it at a high level with a really cool organization that's, you know, bought into winning. And so, you know, trying to do my best to, like I said before, put my best foot forward. And, you know, I continue to say it, but find the balance of, you know, reflecting and being grateful for getting to the spot, but also, you know, trying to look ahead to, you know, I want hopefully win a lot more football games.
All right, that was Raiders quarterbacks Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell. Now, Aiden O'Connell was the starter a year ago after Antonio Pierce was named as the head coach of the team. But again, they wanted some flexibility. They tried to draft a quarterback. They really had targeted Michael Penix Jr. from Washington. He did not drop to them. And so when that didn't happen, they were content to go into this season with Gardner Minshew signing him to a two-year, $25 million contract. Again, $15 million of that is guaranteed. I think Gardner Minshew has to be the favorite going into the season. He finished 2023 by completing 62.2% of his passes for 3,305 yards and 15 touchdowns. You know, he's someone who's been there before. So at the very least, they have some flexibility there. Again, the Jimmy Garoppolo, the Jimmy G experiment did not work out in Las Vegas. He was benched and never really felt comfortable. And now Garoppolo goes to Los Angeles, where he is Matthew Stafford's backup with the Rams. But again, you know, when you look around the league, this is probably the most hotly contested quarterback competition going into the season. So we'll see how that all plays out. All right, let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we'll be joined by Grant Mona, talking about the NBA and their new media rights deal. The media rights deal is finally done. We'll tell you all about that and more when we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 from the California, the Bet in Las Vegas, on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
Welcome back to the Rush Marconzi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or comment or want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline 310-400-0340. All right, let's welcome in from the Sporting Tribune, Grant Mona. Grant, how are you?
I'm doing good, Arash. We are getting into the hot days of summer and it here in Southern California. And while a lot of people like it, I'm not a big fan of the so I'm getting prepped right now.
No, I feel you. We've been tracking a story for quite some time, Grant, and it does seem we're close to the end. Not the Lakers head coaching search, which we'll touch on momentarily, but it is the NBA media rights deal. A report from the Wall Street Journal on Wednesday is that the league is finally nearing an 11-year, $76 billion media rights deal with ESPN, with NBC, and Amazon. Now that big takeaway there is there's no Turner. And we've been talking about that for a while. Will Turner, TNT, TBS, will they be a part of this? It does not seem like that is the case, which has been predicted for quite some time. The way it breaks down is ESPN gets the main deal, the A deal, the NBA Finals, one conference finals. That is $2.6 billion per year. NBC is back after not having the NBA for over 20 years, I guess. They're back at $2.5 billion per year. And Amazon, first streaming deal in league history, they're in it for $1.8 billion. So we got the A, team, B and C. With the streamer, there's been talk about they may get the in-season tournament and some other things like that. First, Grant, your initial thoughts. Again, I think the big takeaway, at least initially for some people, is there is no Turner. There is no TNT, TBS. So it's important to note that Turner will have it for one more year. It's not the end. But this upcoming season will be the last year of the NBA on TNT.
Yeah, it's, we just keep counting down the days until this news is actually official and all these things get sorted out. I'm assuming this is going to be the deal. I know it's not officially confirmed by the NBA, but all reports, like you mentioned, that report, it's basically confirmed now that those will be the ones. They have to find a way to get these guys onto another network or with the same crew or with some of the same pieces. They have to find a way, because inside the NBA is a core part of the NBA and NBA media and, around their social media, honestly. I mean, if you go around social media, a lot of the most viral clips for the NBA and for the NBA media is those guys on inside. And it would be a major loss if they can't find a way to get these guys into some type of situation, whether it be at Amazon for one night a week or NBC at one night a week. And I'm kind of leaning towards the Amazon thing because I don't think these guys are going to go to another major network. I'm going to rule out ESPN because I just don't see any of those guys fitting in at ESPN. But in terms of this deal, what it means for the league, I mean, obviously it's a $76 billion deal, which is unheard of. I mean, that's a crazy amount of money, for 11 years. Those three, look, I'm excited to actually have NBC back because I didn't really to experience the first wave of an NBC when Jordan was playing and a little bit when Kobe and Shaq were playing in the early 2000s. You know, I was more into basketball in the later 2000s and 07 through now. So it's going to be pretty cool to see the basketball night in America and NBC have that theme song, which is the Round Ball Rock, which is very... I'm really excited for that. I'm a big fan of like design and presentation. So I'm excited to see how these two new streamers, I guess NBC is going to do Peacock as well. Sure. So they're a streamer. So look, what it means for the league, I think the biggest thing that everyone's going to be talking about is the Inside the NBA show. But what it means for the league is that, look, Arash, you and I are on the same page here. We need a Vegas team. We need a team in Seattle, and I obviously those haven't been confirmed as the two teams, but I would love to see those two teams. So this is more important for the expansion of the league. It's more important for the future of technology for this league in terms of streaming and how they're going to present these packages to these corporations. So I'm very excited for the future of this new deal in terms of the technology, in terms of how they're going to go into streaming, how everything's going to be laid out. So, it's unfortunate about Inside. I hope they get something done there, but I'm actually pretty excited for the new prospects of this fan sale.
Yeah, no, I mean, this has been the way it's been trending for a while. I think the numbers are staggering to people who have projected that sports media rights deals are on a decline. I think some people thought that when they looked at the college football landscape. Well, the fact of the matter is that was really just like a Pac-12 deal. Like, the Big Ten got a big media rights deal. A lot of these other, leagues have done big media rights deals. When you talk about $76 billion, What an amazing media rights deal that they got. The important thing to note about Warner Brothers Discovery, which is the parent company of, you know, TNT and Turner, they are right now saddled with $40 billion in debt. That's what the B. $40 billion in debt. So what Turner was when they last made this media rights deal is not the same company. And generally speaking, leagues don't want to partner up with companies that are saddled with that kind of a debt. Why? Because at some point you got to figure out how to get rid of that debt or sell the company. And so you don't want to have a, you know, 12-year contract with a company that's in flux or that may be sold or that may be run by somebody new. So, you know, I think that there's a lot of people out there sad about, you know, TNT. Again, I mean, it is amazing how long the league has been on TNT. You go back, you know, this is a 40-year partnership that they've had. But the fact of the matter is, this is not the same company it was then. I mean, you just look at the name of the company, Warner Brothers Discovery. I mean, like this is a conglomerate at this point, but it's a conglomerate that is saddled with $40 billion worth of debt, where you don't know what they're going to be a year from now. You don't know what they're going to be 2 years from now. And when you engage in and go into a 12-year partnership, you want that partner to be established and secure, and that you're not worried that 2 years down the line they're going to try to either break the contract or there's going to be someone new in charge. To the inside the NBA question, Grant, you're 100% right. I think it's a show that most fans want to continue, that most fans would love to see continue. The great thing with the way sports media is now, when you look at Pat McAfee, you look at what some of these other content creators are doing, there's no reason why they can't partner up and basically produce this show and continue it and find a way, whether it's, again, I agree with you, ESPN may not be the best fit, but I think a streamer would make a ton of sense. So I think that's the direction that they go. But the biggest point that you brought up and that I'd love to dive into now, certainly with our show being in Las Vegas, is that when the commissioner has brought up the conversation of expansion, he has always said the first thing that we have to do is the media rights deal. And once we get the media rights deal done, we will shift our focus to expansion. He has said that time and time again. And this is where we're at right now, that once officially, and again, it's important to note, it is not official, that this is just, you know, it's trending in this direction. I fully, like, the commissioner is not going to upstage the finals by making this announcement, by the way. Again, he's going to talk to the media for game one of the finals on Thursday. I think he'll be coy. I don't think he's going to make a groundbreaking announcement before game one of the finals. If you go back a year ago, remember during the finals, he did want to talk about John Morant's suspension until the finals was done. So I think we're going to get through the finals. I think we are going to get an announcement once the finals is done. Maybe he might even wait till the draft is done. But at some point this month, we're going to get an official word on the media rights deal. And then at that point, Grant, I do think that the focus shifts to expansion. And I do think the favorites, no doubt, are Vegas and Seattle. Again, Seattle is something that has been a stain on the league for quite some time. There was no reason for them to leave Seattle. You look at how amazing that city has become in terms of being a great sports town. You fly in, and the number of Seattle Supersonics merchandise that they still sell is incredible. So you reboot that franchise, and it'll be a success, no doubt about that. And then Las Vegas. I mean, the league loves Las Vegas, the Summer League, the in-season tournament, Team USA training camp. LeBron has been very specific about saying, once I'm done, I want a team in Las Vegas. He hasn't said, I want a team generally. Like, he wants the Vegas team. Let's go to the Vegas part of this. Again, right now, there are two sites that they're talking about for potentially building a arena. Again, they will play probably temporarily at the T-Mobile Arena. It was built for the NBA, but these teams generally like to have their own facilities. You look at the Clippers, for example, right, with the Intuit Dome. Talk about Vegas. I mean, I think once they get the NBA, it's proven to be a great sports town. When you look at the Las Vegas Golden Knights, the Aces, the Raiders, it's a basketball town, going back to Jerry Tarkanian and the UNLV Runnin' Rebels. What are your thoughts on Las Vegas finally getting a pro basketball team?
They need one. They need one. I want to go to Vegas and see an NBA game. I know they've had the in-season tournament. I know that, you know, they've had some showcases there. I know that they have summer league there, but they need an actual NBA team there. There's no reason why they can't. The Raiders are thriving there. The Aces are thriving there. Like you mentioned, all these teams, the Golden Knights are very much thriving there. You can use a brand. I could still consider the T-Mobile Arena pretty brand new. It's a state-of-the-art facility. You can use that in the meantime while you build them their own stadium. And obviously we have the ongoing talks with the Oakland A's, I say. They're going to be Sacramento, I guess. But you have the ongoing talks there. So I'm just wondering, like, I don't know when this deal would be made, right? Like, because you mentioned they're going to shift their focus after this media rights deal is official. So I'm putting that probably in the summer sometime, I'm guessing, after the finals. And then what happens after that? Like, I'm kind of curious, Arash, what your thoughts are on, like, when they would announce. Would it be next offseason? Would it be mid-season? Because I feel like the sooner you kick this off and the sooner you officially launch this thing, and I'm not expecting it to be within months of the new media deal, but would there be, like, a timeline for when these two expansion teams would be announced? Because I always thought that maybe it would be in season during 2024-2025, but, you know, more likely probably after the finals of next year would probably be more ideal. So I was just wondering, like, what you've heard maybe, or what you're thinking.
You know, so what you need is you need to, you know, put it out there, you know, and again, I think this is sort of like the behind the scenes process where you've basically decided that you want a team, for example, in Vegas and Seattle. Then the ownership group comes into play where you grant an expansion franchise to the LeBron James led group, for example. I'm just using him for example. But by the way, as powerful and as rich as LeBron is, he needs to be part of a group, because this, I mean, I'm fascinated by what the expansion franchise fee will be. You know, the Vegas franchise may be worth, you know, $4 billion, and that might be low. So, you know, when you talk about $4 billion, it's LeBron James and partners. So that you need that group in place, and you also kind of need that group to basically say, here's the ownership group, we're going to break ground on this arena, and then you have a timeline in place. When I go back to when the Vegas Golden Knights, and again, they didn't have a team name, that announcement came following the season. And again, it was during right after the Stanley Cup final. So I would look at that again. So, you know, they get the media rights deal done this summer, or, you know, like right during the finals. And then to your point, I think a year from now is when we get the announcement of, you know, we have granted a franchise to Las Vegas. Here's the ownership group. Here's where they will play. I'd be curious if they do both at the same time, or, you know, one announcement one week and then the next week, you know. But again, Vegas and Seattle make the most sense in terms of, you know, the passion those cities have, proven track records of supporting teams. Let's go to the Seattle part of this, because, you know, you were young, but certainly you remember. I mean, they moved that team at the worst, when I say the worst possible time. They had just drafted Kevin Durant, and they really, people forget, Russell Westbrook wore a Seattle Supersonics hat. So they drafted in back-to-back drafts Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, and they move that team to Oklahoma City, and then they go on this amazing run. Again, never won a championship, but they got to the finals. They were always a contender, kind of timing-wise, you know, going up against the Golden State Warriors and the Heat with, like, LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. What do you remember, Grant, about the Seattle Supersonics?
Yeah, obviously a franchise that has a lot of history, right? I mean, Sean Kemp was a big part of the Sonics history. Ray Allen was before he was on the Celtics. People forget about that. I remember watching that rookie Kevin Durant team with Rashard Lewis, and they had Kevin Durant. They had all these great players. And I was like, man, if they get one or two more pieces, they could be really good. Because I loved Kevin Durant coming out of college. Obviously, he was the number two overall pick behind Greg Oden. But, you know, I remember the Sonics. Like when I was playing NBA Live as a kid, I would always use the Sonics. When I was following basketball back then, when I was very, very little, I remember the Supersonics, and it was, you know, at the time I didn't really understand the significance of them moving. I was just like, oh, look, a cool new team in Oklahoma City. Then obviously that team blossomed into a contender and a team that had multiple MVPs and that is now competing year in and year out. I mean, that organization has grown so much in Oklahoma City, but that team that was rooted in Seattle, I mean, you see what they do for the Mariners, right? When the Mariners are competitive, I mean, that T-Mobile Park is filled, right? It is filled to the brim with Mariners fans. We saw what, you know, the Seattle Seahawks do with their fans, right? They call them the 12th man for a reason. Like, that's a city that shows up for their teams. Even the Seattle Kraken, I mean, they've had a few playoff runs here and they show up for that too. That's that arena, I actually really like the one that they play in right now, the Kraken. Yeah. So Seattle fans show up for their teams, which is why it made the move from Seattle to Oklahoma City a little bit weird. And also what we're going to have to take into account with both of these teams, they're both going to be in the West, yeah, right? So we have to move two teams to the East. Now,
just one, because I actually did that map, but it was like, yeah, so you bring in two and you move one. And again, the teams that are under consideration, just geographically speaking, New Orleans, Minnesota, you know, but again, yeah, one team will move.
Yeah, people, I always get that confused. People always think that it's two.
No, but exactly. And I'm the same.
And so, like, you're right. I mean, could it be New Orleans? Could it be the Memphis Grizzlies? There's even been the Minnesota Timberwolves. Because they're kind of northeast, and like the travel to some of the eastern teams would be really easy for them. Like they could go to Cleveland and they could go to Milwaukee pretty easily and Chicago. So that might be a better fit. I just don't know if they want Anthony Edwards in the East because he might be the next face of the league. So they have a lot of options here. But I do think that Seattle is such a fantastic sports town, much like we're talking about Vegas. They deserve an NBA team. They've deserved it since the Sonics left. And Vegas also does as well. I'm curious to see what Vegas names their team. I'm trying of a name to name them, because he can't name them anything with gambling. So it's going to have to be something a little bit outside of the box. And I'm a big fan of the redesigns, as you know, with the Clippers. I'm a big fan of designs and presentation and all that. So I'm just very excited for this thing to get going. I want it to happen now. Like somebody announced.
Yeah. Listen, I think there's a, you know, there's going to be a lot of excitement. Again, I think this month we're going to get the official announcement on the media rights deal. And then we will ramp up speculation. And again, the Lakers, by the way, have already announced their preseason schedule. They will have an October game in Las Vegas. And it's so funny, every time that the Lakers have that preseason game in Las Vegas, LeBron James is, you know, he's asked about Vegas. This one will be more to the point. The commissioner will be very specific. Again, I don't think when he talks to the media on Thursday that he can give any specifics definitively on the media rights deal. But someone will bring up the fact that he has said on several occasions, once the media rights deal is completed, we will begin focusing on expansion. And so I think at that point, we will get more into the specifics of the timeline for that. And as we touched on, Grant, I do think a year from now is when we will get the official word of Las Vegas being granted a team and then Seattle being granted a team. And I think over the next year, people are going to try to partner up, put together groups. Again, $4 billion. That's generally not one person. It's generally a group. So it should be a fun time, an exciting time for the NBA as we get ready for game one of the NBA Finals, finally coming up Thursday. All right, that's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at. Like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.